And we're back on golf today. The PGA Tour announcing on Monday that the Travelers will be part of the tour's new Elevated Championship Series, which begins in 2028. And it will be one of 15 tournaments that complement the majors, the players, the playoffs, Ryder and President's Cups as well. Then yesterday, another tournament was added to the expanding 2028 championship lineup. Insurance and Financial Services Company will take over sponsorship over the Napa, California tournament next year, and beginning in 2028, when the tour implements its new competitive model, the event will become an upper-tier event and relocate to another market. And more news today. The Century, the annual PGA Tour event played at Torrey Pines, will now be part of the PGA Tour Championship Series as well, beginning in 2028. Century, of course, assumed title sponsorship of San Diego's PGA Tour event last month, and the event will be held in late January of 2027. Time now for another Golf Today roundtable. Let's welcome in Golf Channel reporter Todd Lewis, Golf Digest contributor and author Shane Ryan. Gentlemen, nice to see you both. There you are. T. Lou, I'm going to start with you. What do you make of the PGA Tour announcement? Not just the news, but how the tour is kind of rolling it out day by day, owning the news cycle, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that they're coming out right now with these championship series venues and sponsors, and we're not even into 2027, and they're labeling it out on 2028. I find it interesting in the fact that there still is a competitive environment for sponsors and tournaments out there and trying to create the hole or fix the holes that are still left in the schedule for 2028. In other words, they are kind of maybe putting some pressure on those companies, those sponsors who are thinking about possibly being a championship series event in 2028. And that comes with a $30 million plus price tag. In the news with the Century coming out today, I would be shocked if that's not the season opening event. That seems like that is trending. The news yesterday with Sampo coming out, it's an interesting company, Japanese-based company. I would not be surprised if they are going to have that tournament on the West Coast. I get the feeling that the PGA Tour really wants to have an event in Seattle. This might be a great marriage, a great Asian community in Seattle with a Japanese-based company. That could easily fit there. And then, of course, Travelers, which is year in and year out, such a great tournament on the schedule. So that's not a shock. I expect all the eight tournaments that are currently signature events, by the way, to be championship series events moving forward. And that means there are only three or four spots maybe available right now as tournaments and sponsors continue to fight to be on that championship series beginning in 2028.
All right, Shane, let's step away from the business side for a second and talk about the business that is Jackson Koivin, because there was a massive amount of buzz after his win about he should be on the President's Cup team, et cetera. Is that a recency bias, or is it hopping over people like Akshay Bhatia, another young player that's playing great, and he's won this year as well? Where do you stand?
Yeah, I stand on the fact that, I mean, this guy is one of the best amateurs we've ever seen, had one of the greatest amateur careers. And obviously, you have to prove that once you get to the PGA Tour. We've all seen plenty of great amateurs kind of fizzle out. He proved it within three tournaments. I mean, you're dealing with a guy who probably is going to be one of the great players for the next 20 years. I completely buy into him. I think he's different from a lot of other young phenoms we've seen. And I'm a big believer with President's Cup and Ryder Cup. You get these guys going early. You get them going early so that they're used to the environment. And what's interesting about this debate is a lot of people are phrasing it like, well, you know, do you sacrifice a spot this year to give him a spot so that he can, you know, be good in years to come? And it's like, no, that framing is ridiculous. The guy just won a PGA Tour event, right? He is one of the best players you've seen at the amateur level. All he's ever done is win at every level, including on the PGA Tour now. He's an addition immediately. I really don't think there's any argument for not putting this guy on these teams instantly. I mean, he's so good. He's exciting. I think people will want to watch him, and I think it'll be good for the future of your teams. To me, it's a complete no-brainer.
Todd, what say you about the same topic? Should Jackson Koivin get the Ludvig Åberg treatment? You know, the European Ryder Cup system really looked out for him. Luke Donald putting him in big spots, and they nurtured this young man before he even played in a major championship. So should Jackson be looked after by the United States team system, as it were?
Well, if you want to go back and make the comparison of Ludvig Åberg to Jackson Koivin, if you remember back then, there wasn't as much depth for the European team and for Luke Donald. And so it was a little bit more, a little less, I should say, of a risk for Luke Donald to pick Ludwig Åberg. Obviously, it worked out. I played beautifully, and he's been a top 10 player for a while. You know, to be honest with you, I was a little hesitant at first. Should he be in just three professional starts on this President's Cup team? But now that I've kind of thought about it, done some research, and to back up what Shane was saying, I think he does deserve some at least consideration to be on that team. I look more as to whether, if he makes the team, what would the teammates in the team room think? And I believe talking to the players that have seen his trajectory and have interacted with him, I feel like he would be welcomed in that team room. And I think that's the biggest component, because captains listen to players in regards to making captain's picks. And ultimately, it is Brandt Snedeker's decision, but he is going to be heavily influenced by the six that have automatically qualified.
So, Shane, if we continue this conversation, are the merits of putting Jackson on the team solely about his individual potential, or is part of this about the discussion of breaking up what some call the old boys network of those already presumed to be on the squad?
You know, I think it's more about just, like, forget all the culture surrounding it. Forget the concept of the old boys network. What is going to be best for the team? I think you can really simplify it, and you don't have to worry about all the extraneous stuff. Jackson Koivun is really good. He's going to be really good for a long time. Potentially a generational player. You know, look, you probably, maybe this is recency bias. Maybe in 5 years I'll look like an idiot. But to me, this guy seems like this is the greatest thing we've seen coming out since, I don't know, Jordan Spieth maybe. So you want a guy like that on the team early because he can contribute right away because he's already one of the best golfers. And by the way, we're having this discussion now. I think within about 3 or 4 weeks, he's going to, you know, play really, really well, potentially make the second playoff event, maybe make East Lake. I don't think we'll be having this discussion. I think it'll be obvious in a month. But until then, I still think it's a really, really good call to get him on there. It's not about breaking up an old boys network. It's about just what's best for your team, not just now, yes, now, but also going forward in the decades to come.
Now, speaking of making an investment in the future, TLU, the Triad Business Journal of North Carolina, is reporting that the General Assembly of North Carolina is offering $40 million to the PGA Tour to have the Greensboro event as a Tier 1 event, Championship Series event going forward. What does that tell you about this environment in which the PGA Tour is living in and fishing in and maybe bringing in some really huge fish?
Well, Damon, first I'm going to answer this two ways. There's a professional way I'll get to in a moment, but there's also the personal point of view. I grew up in the Greensboro area. My first ever professional golf tournament I attended was the Kmart Greater Greensboro Open at Forest Oaks. I fell in love with professional golf at the highest level there. So that's my hometown event, and I would love to see them get the best that they can get on the PGA Tour. So let me start with that. Secondly, I can tell you that the officials that run that tournament have been working for a long time. I'm talking about Bobby Long, who spearheaded that tournament for a while now. Mark Brazel, who's been a tournament director there for a long, long time. They have been trying to work with the PGA Tour to elevate the Wyndham Championship to the Championship Series level. Wyndham, their contract is running out. So, yes, they're trying to find a new title sponsor. But the state, for the state of North Carolina to come in and say, hey, because of the history of this tournament that dates back to 1938, that was Sam Snead's stomping grounds, and we really want this to remain in North Carolina as a premier event, for them to come in and offer $10 million annually for 4 years to help the tournament gain the money necessary to become a Championship Series title sponsor, I think that speaks volumes to not only the competitiveness out there in trying to reach that Championship Series events level, but also what it means to the state of North Carolina and the history of this tournament to the PGA Tour. We'll see what happens. I hope it does. It'd be awesome to have two Championship Series events in the state of North Carolina. It might be an uphill battle for the Wyndham Championship, but You know, at least now they have government support, state government support to back them.
Yeah, it's very interesting, all the wrinkles that are starting to come into this as the picture is slowly getting clearer and clearer for us of what the PGA Tour is going to look like in 2028 and beyond. Beyond this next break, we have more to discuss with these two gentlemen, including Korda or you. Who would you have for the player of the year on the PGA Tour? And along those lines, what grade would you give Scottie Scheffler for his year as yet? That and more coming up. We continue our conversation with Shane and with Todd. Shane, I want to start with you on this one. We are now at the time of year where numbers really matter, however you define that, 70, 30, 100. But you've been in the position for years of talking to players as they slam that trunk. It's not about numbers. It's about emotions. It's about worries. It's about anxieties. It's about whether or not they keep their job or position. What is the significance then of this time of year from your perspective?
Yeah, well, you know, we were just talking about the Wyndham. I've been going to the Wyndham for years. I'm also a North Carolina guy, but a transplant, not like Todd. I heard Todd's Southern accent creeping in a little bit there. I liked it. The significance, look, the Wyndham for a long time was very much a kind of do or die thing. It was get your card or don't. That was always really exciting. Now it's kind of, there's like the fall series to fall back on. There's things like that. But it's still a matter of getting into the playoffs. Yeah, I think it's always significant. It's a barometer of success. In some cases, it can really define how your year goes. I think this year is particularly interesting because next year is going to be the time where we try to qualify for the championship series events that are going to happen in 2028. And it's going to be a real kind of have and have not divide that's going to develop in 2028. And that's going to be laid in 2027. All the groundwork for that is going to be laid. But coming into this next year, it matters this year if you can get into the signature events for next year. And so really, when you look at the future of the PGA Tour and the system of promotion and relegation, the ability and the process of trying to make that championship series starts this year. You'll get a guy like Brooks Koepka. He is right now outside of the playoff race. He's got a couple weeks to get in. That could have a huge effect on what tournaments he can play next year, which in turn, again, has an effect on whether he's going to make that championship series in 2028, which has this knock-on effect of your entire career. So, look, it is a real A to B to C to D situation, but it matters this year for these guys what's going to happen, and it has an effect that we've never seen before on what the future of the PGA Tour is going to look like, even for some of the best players.
Tilu, the number on my mind is the number one, world number one, Scottie Scheffler. I'm not sure anybody interviews Scottie more than you do out there on the PGA Tour. Family man, faith, feisty competitor. I think the year's been irksome for him, bothersome for him, as well as he has played. How do you think he's handling this oddity of having one win, 11 top four finishes, and five runner-up finishes?
Yeah, I mean, look, he still is the best player on the planet. And I think if you ask any player on the PGA Tour, who do they fear if they have the lead that's coming north on the leaderboard on that final day? And right now, it is without a doubt still Scottie Scheffler. But yeah, he's a tick off. There's no doubt about it. He understands that and he gets it. And you do sense a little bit of frustration in Scottie. It's minimal. I mean, it's nothing major. But yeah, I get the impression that he really is tired of hearing the questions, why haven't you crossed the threshold more? Because the bar has been set so high with what he has done the last 2 to 3 years. And look, this happens. When you're an elite player and then all of a sudden golf is golf and you're not winning as much as you were maybe the previous year or the previous couple of years, then you do get that sense of frustration. You do have to deal with the doubts in your head. We saw it with Colin Morikawa when Colin Morikawa came out, won a couple of major championships in his first few years, and then his game kind of wasn't as elite as it was, and it became really frustrating for him. But I think Scottie still is managing it pretty well. I don't think he is totally engulfed in frustration, but he definitely wants to get just a tad bit better than he is right now.
All right, let's talk about the AIG Women's Open. We are on the eve of the last major championship, the women's side of the game, Royal Lithuania in St. Anne's. So, Shane, I mean, the straightforward question is, Korda or you, who do you got?
I got you, right? I mean, you got to, she's won two majors. What do you want? This is like majors. It's true in the men's game and the women's game. This is what we pay attention to. It goes a little bit back to the Scheffler or Shoffley debate from 2024. I just think two majors kind of takes it. So I think Nelly's got to win this one to even the scales. And then if she does even the scales, she'll win because she's probably had the better overall year outside of the majors.
I thought you were about to hit us with a I got you, babe. Shane, how about you, T. Lou? Let's go from the LPGA to the PGA Tour. Player of the Year, Maddie and I had a robust discussion. I think it's Wyndham Clark at this point. I just think if I'm a player and I walk into my trophy room and I see a U.S. Open trophy and a 30-under CJ Cup final round 60.
Don't be leading.
I'm leading the witness. I am leading the witness. I'm trying to bring him to my side. Are you with me? It's Wyndham or you got Cam Young or someone else? Or Scotty?
Man, first off, I heard you and Matt talking about this topic prior to us coming on, and I was hoping and praying that I would not get asked this question. And of course, Damon, you asked me this question. Look, it's a very good question. You can make an argument for a lot of those elite players. I did a story in my earlier days of Golf Channel, and I actually asked players how would they equate a major championship victory to winning a regular PGA Tour event. And they told me, a majority of them said, if you win a major, it's like winning three times on the PGA Tour. So if we're going to go with that theory, then yes, Damon, I'm going to agree with you because I think Wyndham Clark winning a major championship and also winning another regular tour event, that according to the equation, that gives him four. However, Scottie Scheffler has been the most consistent player of the year. I think it's going to come down to what we're going to see in the playoffs. It's just as simple as that. Who is going to perform better and is going to pull themselves ahead just by a nose to win the PGA Tour Player of the Year. But let's not forget, it is voted on by the players. There's a little bit of a popularity contest involved in this as well. So we shall see.
Well, you know, I'm going to quote a very intelligent, wise scribe who just said, if you were a player in the PGA Tour and you saw Scottie Scheffler creeping up the leaderboard, I think that was Todd Lewis that said that. Right, Shane? I'm going to let you weigh in on this, too. Who do you got?
Let me tell you, it doesn't matter because whoever gets the PGA Tour Player of the Award, they'd rather have a major. I just want to mix it up a little. Todd's wrong. I just want to be a little antagonistic. It is a good question. Look, I'll be honest. I don't really care that much. And I like the idea that they're coming with in 2028, hopefully, of just having it be a point system, because I think that's ultimately more interesting. Although we would lose these debates. So maybe I should be careful what I wish for. Look, if you put it to me right now, I would probably agree with Todd and say Wyndham Clark. I would say if someone like Cam Young won the playoffs, maybe he would move ahead of him with his Players' Championship. It's tough to look at the major winners, isn't it? Because, you know, Rory hasn't been that great, but maybe Rory, if he won the playoffs, certainly it won't be Aaron Rye. Certainly it won't be Ryan Fox. So you're really down to, you can't give it to Scheffler because he hasn't won enough. So you're really down to Young, Wyndham Clark, and Rory as a sort of dark horse if you were to win the playoffs. I've got Wyndham Clark 1A, Cam Young 1B at the moment.
And Matt Fitzpatrick online too. Gentlemen, we appreciate your time. Todd Lewis and Shane Ryan, two men with their ear to the ground when it comes to professional golf. Stay tuned for more Golf Today. We are back on Golf Today. LPGA's major season began in April. Nellie Korda won her third career major by 5. With the win, she returned to number one in the world. Took the leap, got the robe, and then she wasn't done. How about winning the U.S. Women's Open for the first time? Getting it done at the Riviera Country Club. One-shot win for Nellie to earn major title number 4.
Heron earned her first career major title, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Hazeltine National Golf Club. It was a historic comeback from 10 strokes back following the first round. Then at the Avion Championship, you joined Nellie as another two-time major winner in 2026. She defeated Brooke Henderson with a birdie on the first hole of a playoff. How about this first round groupie? Yes, you have Korda and you, and they're joined by Lydia Ko, who many believe has the game to pick apart Royal Lithium and St. Anne's this week. Absolute delight to welcome Beth Ann Nichols back to the show. She is on site now. So Beth Ann, let's start with Nelly Korda, birthday girl, and she's I'm curious what her mindset is.
Control what you can control. That's the mantra this week. You know, I think she makes some really good points that when you get to this point in the season where you've had this crazy run of major championships and your nerves are fried, you've been in all these high pressure situations, that when you get a bad bounce, you can get particularly agitated. And of course, Lynx Golf is a place where you're prone to get a lot of bad bounces. So it's all about attitude this week for Nelly Korda going into it, realizing that she's going to have to just shake those things off quickly, which is something she's talked about all season, you know, obviously done it better at some points than others. But, you know, it seems like that miscut at the Evian is well in the rear view right now for Nelly.
You know, we watched Nelly battling the likes of Jin Young Ko, Gino Tittikun, and now it's Haedon Yu. Did Haedon come out of nowhere from your perspective, Beth Ann? Or did you know that this player was coming and had the potential for the year like she's put together?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, right? If we look from a big picture perspective, one of the best ball strikers on tour certainly expected her to win a major and to have big years. I don't know that two majors in one season I saw quite at this point. And certainly given the fact that she took more than a month off leading into the KPMG Women's PGA, having a minor surgery in South Korea, even though she had finished runner-up in her event, right before that long break, you know, I don't think anybody anticipated her to jump right back in and win two straight majors. So in the short term, I think it definitely caught us by surprise. But in terms of her potential, the kind of player that she is, the consistency that she has, clearly the mind that she has right now, we've seen a lot of growth in that area too. She's ready for it.
Not to try to limit you just to Lydia Ko as a prospect this week, but because she is in that marquee group, how about her and possibilities picking apart Royal Lithum?
Well, certainly she's in a much better frame of mind after Evian. You know, played great there with her husband on the bag. I think maybe that different, you know, look, different words coming to her from you know, her partner in life, I think maybe helped her hit a little bit of a reset button. So, you know, I think the time off back home in California, you know, would have given her a little bit of a refresher as well, while some players like Nelly went to Scotland to play their way into it. Lydia obviously took some time off and seemed to be, you know, feeling really good about things. Obviously, having had great success at the Old Course took her by surprise, even, and that this wasn't the championship that she actually thought she would probably win. So, you know, I think she has a different mindset than she did here, you know, back in 2018. Said this is the toughest links course she's seen.
Well, England's Charlie Hull no doubt will have a ton of support this week at Royal Lithum and St. Anne's, Beth Ann, but she's receiving some grief about a practical joke she played on her caddy. Take a look.
He's literally running around the players' round saying, I've won $100,000, I'm taking today off. Went to a prank shop in Blackpool last night and I got some scratch cards. So we go into the players' lounge this morning and I was like, Rads, I got some scratch cards from the shop. He was like, yeah. And this one was like $100,000. And we've got it all on record. He's like scratching it. He's like, oh my gosh, I've won. He's taking his hat off. He's taking his glasses off. He's literally running around the players' lounge saying, I've won $100,000. I'm taking today off. His face looks so happy. He was sweating. He was trembling. He couldn't believe his luck. And then we had to tell him it was fake and he nearly quit the job. But yeah, I felt bad, but now I've got to have my backup because I don't know what he's got in store for me to pay back.
Beth Ann, what's been the reaction to Charlie Hull's practical joke?
Well, if you're judging by my Twitter feed, which has well over 250 comments, largely negative. I think a lot of people felt like this was out of bounds, that especially given the fact that Charlie is her boss, that to play a joke on Adam. But I will say that she and Adam have a great relationship. They're extremely close. But it's been interesting because I think it's fair to say there's been a lot of backlash from this practical joke. But on the other hand, you know, the LPGA needs these viral moments, you know, and Charlie had a lot of great nuggets out of this interview beyond this, you know, obviously launching her YouTube channel and talking about how that sort of came to life. And then I asked her about the nine at the Scottish Open and the whole location that she immediately texted the commissioner about and was very, very disappointed and felt like it was an unfair whole location. So, you know, when it comes to Charlie, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And it's been like that her entire career. And I think she's obviously one of the great characters in the LPGA, and the LPGA needs a little bit of controversy and spice, and you know, Charlie delivers.
One of the feel-good stories, though, this Open has been, it's a mom's week out there, either were or to be, and I wonder if you could weigh in on that little piece of joy.
Yeah, my goodness, I love it. I just spent a little bit of time with Sophia Popov on the range earlier this morning, and you know, she just gave birth to her second child, a son, Julian, just almost 10 weeks ago. It'll be 10 weeks on Friday, which I am just blown away by this. But she really wanted to come back and play. Obviously, Sophia is a former champion of this event. And of course, that really reminds you of what Katrina Mathieu did in 2009, giving birth to her second child, daughter Sophia, Sophie, 11 weeks after giving birth, which she says it's easier coming back after your second child, and to which Georgia Hall said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be around after my second. But, you know, just so much. The mom storyline is fantastic there. Of course, is Sophie right there, who is 17 years old now and hoping to play field hockey potentially in the United States. So it's been fun to watch her children grow up on tour, and for Georgia, this was a huge moment for her on the 18th green, taking a picture here at Royal Lytham, where she, of course, won her title in 2018. And now is her husband and her child, you know, having that, that's going to be her screensaver, she said, this beautiful photo that she took earlier on the 18th. So there are five moms in the field, including Ryan O'Toole, who I think is about 15 weeks pregnant. Just a lot of joy, as you said.
Beth Ann, it's wonderful to see you. Glad you made it safely to England. Now enjoying one of those small radio booths in the media center. Have a wonderful week. We'll catch up with you soon. Back on golf today with this reminder, the season's final major starts tomorrow. The ladies tee it up at Royal Lytham and St. Anne's, the AIG Women's Open live first round coverage. Set your clocks or stay up late. 4 a.m. Eastern time right here on Golf Channel. And there is really one marquee group that we've all been talking about for the last week or so. Lydia Ko with Nelly Korda and Hate On You. Three major champs. And with Nelly and Hate On, they have split the majors this year.
Yeah, look at this season comparison. Both with 12 starts. Four wins for Nelly, two for you. Top 10s, 9 and 8, respectively. Time now to head over to the CDW Intelligence Center and go beyond the scorecard using ShotLink statistics. So the story coming into this major, it's really been about those two. Thankfully, they are paired together. Lydia Ko will be the third member of that. So it comes down to this. How do we do a comparison? How do we do a divide as we're heading into the week?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how Nelly and Haydon have built these incredible seasons that they have. So we thought it'd be fun to take a look at their strokes gained statistics, really the big four stats, as it were. And you can throw a fifth one if you want, just for total. But off the tee, approach around the green and putting. And you look at the top two lines, and off the tee, they're 1-2. And then approach their 1-2 the other way. It's around and on the greens where Nelly kind of separates herself really from Hate On You. And then you look at the total, it's 1 and 2 again. But amazing to think. That tells me just how incredible Hate On You's ball striking must be for her to be able to be 76th around the green, 129th on the greens, and still be second in strokes gained total.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, but it's because of the weight of those first two categories off the tee and the approach. That was the CDW Intelligence Center. Golf Today continues as we discuss this important point of how do we do that kind of judgment. They're tied in terms of majors so far this season.
Yeah.
But Nelly has 4 wins against the 2. And I think those 2 categories that you just pointed out to us are important, and they're particularly important this week because of the calling to get up and down at a major. We see it all the time. You're going to have a lot of players this week that are going to be playing short of those bunkers.
Yeah.
Right? Because the bunker, what did Karen Stupples tell us the other day? She said it could be a 1-stroke penalty if you hit into one of those bunkers. So you, fairway bunkers. So you're going to have players playing short of those. So they're going to be missing greens. Getting up and down around the green, I think, is going to be an absolutely critical stat. We've also heard that the greens are rolling beautifully.
Yeah.
If that's the case, that's another important area. So for me personally, I'd have to give the edge coming in to Nelly.
Well, that's what's so fascinating, because Haydon doesn't miss greens. I mean, she's the best in the world in terms of approach, the best in the world in terms of greens in regulation. So it's going to be fascinating, you know, what has more weight this week? Mm-hmm. Will it be the ball striking or will it be the putting? And well, if the wind
heard,
is down...
We heard Tom talking about 25-mile-per-hour
wind. So, yeah, if it's going to be windy, then you're going to miss greens. But that's what's so fascinating. I want to see how she controls her golf ball in the wind. Is her ball striking so superior that on a golf course that requires precision, if her superpower comes to the fore and is able to overcome whatever Mother Nature throws her way?
Well, you think about what Jack Nicklaus used to say back in the day, that the wind doesn't affect a well-struck golf ball, to paraphrase, right? So could we see that? Ultimately, I think everybody kind of feels the same way. What everybody wants is we all want them both playing at their very best over the next few days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Can't wait till 4 a.m. Eastern time. That was the CDW Intelligence Center. People who get it